Seven horrible plagues will soon strike millions of Americans with indescribable suffering. Only a few will escape the ravages of these fearful scourges. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. I'd like to introduce our study today by reading a verse in that last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And then Revelation 16, verse 1, And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now, friends, there's a great deal of speculation in the world today about the future. Some people, of course, are talking about a world war number 3. Some are talking about hanging inhabited floats out there in space where they can land when they start out for the moon or some other places. And others are wondering what the atomic bomb will do to this world, and they anticipate that after we have an atomic warfare, any men that are left might be really reduced down to some little weaselly men about the size of a mouse. I say there's a lot of great wild speculation taking place, and when we're studying about the plagues, though, that are coming on this earth, friends, we're not talking about something that can be speculated about. We're talking about sure events that will certainly take place. As we read in the inspired prophets of the Bible, we find that it's in God's plan that at the end of time, before Jesus returns, there will be seven terrible plagues that will come on this earth. Those plagues are just as sure to come as the fact the sun rose this morning. They are predictions of prophecy, and they will be fulfilled. Now, in our study today, we will answer three questions. These questions come as a result of our believing that the plagues will come. I'm not the one who decides whether they will come or not, friends. That's not the problem. The plagues will come. Now, since we believe that, we have these three questions. When will they come? Upon whom will they fall? And how may I prepare to escape them? And those are the questions we'll ask and answer from the Word of God during our series here on the seven last plagues. Now let's turn our attention to the first question. When will the plagues come? Will you write down these verses, please? We'll read in Revelation again, chapter 14, verses 15 and 19. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now, we're studying about the harvest time, and when the harvest comes, the angel will come and say, Thrust in thy sickle and reap. There'll be two, in fact, who will reap. Jesus Christ will reap. He's the first one with a sickle. And then we read in verse 19 about an angel reaping also. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God that will take place in the harvest time. All right, friends, we find that the winepress of the wrath of God was introduced by these seven last plagues. These seven last plagues constitute the beginning, the first stages of the wrath of God that will be poured on the earth. Then the plagues will come, without question, during the harvest time. Now, when will the harvest time come? Jesus said the harvest is the end of the world, Matthew 13:39. The last act in the harvest will be the coming of Jesus. Then the pouring out of the wrath will take place in connection with the coming of Jesus. And if we study the prophecies carefully, we'll find that these great plagues will take place just prior to the appearing of Christ in the clouds of heaven, because the coming of Jesus follows the events of the plagues. Therefore, the plagues will come prior to the coming of Jesus. The plagues will come after the Spirit of God has been withdrawn from this earth. The same things will take place in the last days that took place in the days of Noah. If you read in the 6th chapter of Genesis, you'll find these words. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Now God warned the world for a period of 120 years. Then he destroyed the inhabitants of the world by a flood. The spirit of God was withdrawn when man filled his cup of iniquity. And that's been how God has always dealt with nation after nation down through the history of this earth. When the Babylonians filled up their cup of iniquity, God destroyed them and brought another nation on the scene. When the Assyrians filled up their cup of iniquity, God destroyed them and brought on another nation or another kingdom. So that's the way God deals with nations, friends. He gives them an opportunity. He's long-suffering and merciful. He gives them year after year, in fact, decade after decade, to prove if they'll accept Him or reject Him. But as they go on heaping up iniquity until their cup is full, then the Spirit of God will be withdrawn and God's wrath will come. So the Spirit of God will be withdrawn before the plagues fall. And when the Spirit of God is withdrawn from this world, friends, probation will close and no one will be saved after God's Spirit has been taken back. Then the plagues will fall during the time known as the period from the close of probation to the coming of Christ. Now, our next question is this. Upon whom will those seven last plagues fall? Let's read about this first plague that'll be poured out in Revelation 16, verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now, this verse clearly answers the question for us. Upon whom will the plagues fall? Upon whom will they have effect? Why, friends, the mark of the beast is upon those who receive the plagues. Those that worship the image of the beast, those who receive the mark of the beast, they also will receive the seven last plagues. If we study carefully the book of Revelation, we'll find that there's a struggle going on between the Lamb of God and the beast power of this world. The Lamb of God is mentioned 26 times in the book of Revelation. He's mentioned first as a lamb, and he's finally mentioned as a King of Kings, Lord of Lords, riding forth to conquer the kings of this earth. King of Kings and Lord of Lords is what the Bible calls him, riding forth, conquering and to conquer in that final struggle between the Lamb and the Antichrist. Now, friends, the Lamb of God will have a seal that'll be placed on the forehead of his people. You can read about that seal in the seventh chapter of Revelation. Before the coming of Jesus, every true child of God will receive the seal of God or the seal of the Lamb of God on his forehead. Now, that's in the prophecy, friends. Those who finally go to heaven with Jesus will have the seal of God. And while God is placing his seal upon his people, we find that the devil, working through the beast and the image of the beast, will be placing his seal or his mark upon his people. And the mark is spoken of in the book of Revelation as the mark of the beast. Now, this prophecy says that when the seven last plagues are poured out, which constitute the wrath of God upon men before Jesus comes, they will be poured upon those that have the mark of the beast and who worship the image of the beast. In other words, friends, the pouring out of the plagues constitute God's great judgments that will be visited upon those who rebelled against him and followed the image of the beast and received the mark of the beast. Then I believe this tells us who will receive the plagues. Now, the plagues are spoken of in the Bible as the unmingled wrath of God. That means they'll be unmingled with mercy. Every time God has allowed some terrible judgment to come on the world, that judgment has been mingled with mercy. But in this final time, when God allows these things to come on the earth, they will be unmixed or unmingled with mercy. Then somebody might say, that gives me a picture of God with a cruel heart. Why would he be so cruel as to pour out all of these terrible things upon helpless humanity? Plagues that will bring boils and blood to drink and scorching sun and darkness and confusion and deception of the devil. Why would God allow that? He must be a tyrant. Oh, no, friends, that would be the wrong conclusion to come to before we get a true picture of God. Just to take one chapter and one prophecy and say that shows the character of God would not be true. We have to think of the other angles in the character of God, and I think of what he says in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Do you remember those words, friends? He says his burden is easy. He says you'll find rest unto your souls. Oh, there's the character of God pleading with men to come. He tells us how lovely it is to serve Him. The devil tells us it's a terrible yoke to serve Him. And you'll have a yoke of bondage on you. You'll have all kinds of crosses to bear. Oh, now listen, it's true we'll have a cross to bear, but Jesus says when we take that cross upon our shoulder, He will help us to bear it. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And again, I hear the words of Jesus in Luke 11:9, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Knock upon what, friends? Well, knock on the door of God's mercy. Knock on the door of grace and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive my sins and save me and accept me." And we will find all the arms of heaven thrown open to receive us into everlasting glory. Revelation 16 and 15 is not the only place that we find a picture of Jesus in the Bible and the way He deals with men. The Bible is filled with the love of God and the mercy of God, but it also pictures God as a God of justice. And above all, it presents Him as a God that's trying to eradicate sin. He's warned us that those who hold on to sin will be destroyed. Notice Proverbs 13:15, "But the way of the transgressor is hard." Oh, God tells us sometimes that the way of the transgressor is very hard, and He says, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel 33:11. God is trying to get them to turn to Him and live. But He tells us in all His justice that if we don't turn to Him, it means death. He says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," Ezekiel 18:4. The way of the transgressor is hard. So all that is a part of the justice of God. Why is there no mercy mingled with those seven last plagues, friends? Revelation 15:8 tells us why. "And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." So, friends, there's coming a time where the temple in heaven will be closed and no man can enter. And what does that mean? Well, it means that there's coming a time when Christ Himself will close His work in the sanctuary. He will finish His intercession there as our mediator in the heavenly sanctuary. Jesus Christ will carry on His work until the close of probation, and then when the cases of every soul has been settled, when everyone who will repent has repented and those who refuse to repent go on in their sins, when that time comes, probation will close, and then the work of Jesus will be ended in the heavenly sanctuary, and He'll move out. And when Jesus moves out, no man can move in. The work of salvation is ended. The work of grace is over. And then Jesus declares those fearful words of Revelation 22:11, where He says, "He that is filthy, let him remain filthy, and he that is holy, let him remain holy." Well, I tell you, friends, when Jesus is going to settle the case of sin, the mercy of God will linger no more. I want to say this today with all earnestness, because I know there are some who are waiting and saying that sometime when it's more convenient, you'll make your peace with God. God says, "For the time is at hand. He that's unjust, let him be unjust still. He is filthy, let him be filthy still." Well, we'll have to finish our study of the seven last plagues in our next broadcast, friends, because our time has slipped away. And we should find great comfort and assurance today in the fact that none of us need to really experience those horrible afflictions that are just ahead. In our next broadcast, we'll learn how we can be covered and protected when those seven pestilences fall all around us. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.